Lord? Did you come hungry for God's word today? Oh, I tell you what, that is so weak. Did you come hungry for God's word today? Yeah, amen. I'll tell you what, you know, when you come hungry and thirsty before God, He will not leave you empty-handed. He told us over there in Matthew 5, 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, so many we just think, well, I hope God fills me today. I hope, you know, my number comes up. I hope I win the divine lottery today. But how many of you know God's not sitting in heaven with the big bingo ball cage? Not just hoping your number, you know, magically comes up or something like that. You know, God does not act random, and His power does not act random. Just like the electrical power that's powering these lights and our equipment here today, it's not random. It didn't just come into this building by accident. It was channeled with a purpose. All right? And the Bible says being hungry for the things of God, being thirsty for the things of God, that's our part. And when you get, you know, hungry for God, He will not let you go away unfilled. But if you're just here, well, this is my tradition, this is my religion, I sit here on Sundays until noon-ish. You know, I sit here for a little while, I do my church thing, then I'm free, and therefore I've done my spiritual duty for the week. I'll tell you what, that mentality is going to get you nowhere fast. That is not going to bless your life. That is not going to bring God's power to your life. God's power is looking for those that are sincerely hungry, that want His power. But if you're just sitting around like a traditional bump on the log, God is not going to do one blessed thing for you. Woo, praise the Lord. Welcome to church today, right? Amen. But we have to stir ourselves up. Everyone wants, you know, they want God's power to hit their life and to change things. Well, you better stir up the hunger. Amen. And I'll tell you what, God isn't going to change, but I tell you what, we need to change every single day. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to call this message today, Sowing to the Spirit, the Key to Every Harvest Season. I'm going to say that again. Sowing to the Spirit, the keys to every harvest season. Again, God does not act randomly. He acts with purpose. Amen. And if you're here today and you're looking for a change in your life, if you're looking for a new season, meaning if you're walking through, whether it could be a trial, it could be a test on your body, your finances, your marriage, it could be a trial in your life somewhere, or you just know you want to go higher with God, then you need to listen today, because today is going to provide those answers of how you go to the next season with God. If you're going to reap God's plan and blessing for your life, the answer is going to be given to you today. Of course, if you want to just float through life, if you want to just hope that, you know, something randomly, you know, happens to you, well, then turn off everything I'm, you know, going to say to you. But if you want to have purpose, if you want to go to the next part, if you want to understand who you are in God, if you want to find His plan, then you need to understand what we're going to minister today, because honestly, of all the topics in the Bible, this would be right there near the top in levels of importance if you're going to reap God's plan for your life. And of course, a couple weeks ago, I taught out of this passage of Scripture, but I'm not preaching that same message. We're going to take it one step further here today. Of course, last week, we talked about praying for the pastor. All right, were you praying this week for utterance, for boldness, that the Word of God has free course? Amen. That the Word of God would be glorified in our midst, that we're delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Of course, we taught that. We taught last week about bringing your supply to your local church. All right, now today we're going to be talking about sowing to your spirit through the Holy Spirit so that you can walk into the divine seasons or the appointed times that God has for your life. Do you know that God has appointed times for you? He has times where He has already set in advance for you to walk into harvest, for you to walk into influence, for you to reap ideas, for you to reap the blessings of God, you know, for you to walk in His power and His life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, then you're going to need to know what we're going to minister here today. Go over to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to go over there to verse 7. And again, we're going to read through verse 9. I ministered out of these scriptures just a couple weeks ago. If you think, well, he's preaching the same sermon again. You know, if I did decide to preach the same sermon, if it was the will of the Lord, I'd do it. But this isn't the same sermon. I might, you know, use some similar verses, but we're going to go one step further now. It says this in verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked or blamed. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Meaning God says, don't blame me, God says. Don't blame me for the season that's in your life. What a man sows is what he reaps. God is not up there just randomly acting on your life. Amen. God's not the one, you know, sowing and receiving for you. You're the one sowing and receiving for you. All right. God says, don't blame me, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Everyone say due season. For in due season, that means an appointed time that God has set up for each one of us. How many of you know naturally there are four seasons, but out of those four, only one is harvest season, all right? But how many of you know there's certain things you have to do in the previous seasons if you want to get to harvest season, all right? Amen. Notice God has a due season, or there are appointed times for you to reap what God has planned for your life since the beginning of time. The Bible tells us over there in Hebrews chapter 4, it says the works or the things that God planned for you were done before the foundations of the earth. God is not changing his mind what he wants to do with your life. Amen. The Bible tells us over there in Ephesians 2:10, it says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared things for you to complete, assignments and influence, and to reap his plan for your life. It's all ready to go. That's why we quote Jeremiah 29:11, right? I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. God's got prosperous plans for you, but you got to do what the word says to get into that prosperous season. Amen. Everyone say it again. Say due season. There's an appointed time of God for you to walk into. Now, here's the thing. Are you going to keep that schedule? Are you going to be there when your appointed times arrive? Because I'm going to say something. God didn't tell me this. This is just a pastoral estimation on my part. I would dare say that more than 90% of all Christians are constantly or habitually missing the appointed times with God. And they're living life frustrated. They're living far beneath what God has for them because they miss these appointed times. And here's why Christians miss these appointed times is because they are not spiritually prepared. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay. So in due season, I want to show you that first, that there is an appointed time for you and God to walk into a reaping season. Notice it says, in due season, we shall reap. Reaping is harvest season. God wants you to reap. But we're going to come back to verse 9 here in just a few moments. Go up there to verse 7, and let's dig into this again. Notice the first three words of verse 7. Be not deceived. Okay? Why would the Bible say that to us? Because it's obviously possible, and actually you could say it this way, it's easy to be deceived in this area, all right? What is he talking about? He's talking about don't be deceived about how to get to the appointed time that God has for you. Don't be deceived about these due seasons. They are going to come, they are going to happen, but they don't happen automatically, all right? When people say, well, God sings it, they'll just happen automatically. You know, if I just keep on going or give it enough time, it'll eventually come to pass. No, that's wrong. That's deception. Does a farmer look at his field and say, you know what? If I just look at that field long enough, something good's going to grow. you know, in it. I'm going to get a harvest out of that field, even, you know, if I don't sow anything to it. How many know that's a deceived farmer? All right, it's deception to think that it's all on God's side when we know this. If you want a harvest season, the Bible's telling us, you got to sow for it. You got to sow for it. You got to understand that if you want your season to change, if you want your scenery in life to change, if you want to walk into more of what God has for you, you have to sow for it. Notice, oh, praise the Lord. God's not going to do this for you. God's not going to do your sowing for you, and He's also not going to do your reaping for you either. To believe that it's just going to happen by chance or hopefully when God gets around to it is deception, all right? It is 100% deception, all right? We don't want to, it's deception to think that we can get it any other way but sowing for it, all right? We have to know. Now, what does it say in verse 8? How and what do we sow to get to the reaping season? Look at verse 8. It says, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Notice what happens when you sow to your flesh. You're going to reap corruption. That word corruption, it means destruction. I said this a couple weeks ago, that everything has a payback, right? Whatever you sow into your body is going to pay you back, good or bad. You know, you could sow healthy food into your body, it'll pay you back. Right? You can sow garbage food into your body, that'll pay you back too. You can sow cigarettes into your body, that'll pay you back. You can sow drugs and alcohol into your body, that's going to pay you back. Everything you sow into your flesh is going to pay you back, right? But look at the second half of the verse. It says, "He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So now we're told what to sow and how to sow if you're going to get to the reaping season, all right? So many times when you ask Christians nowadays, what do you need to sow to get into God's harvest? And the first response out of their mouth is money. You know, how many of you know the Bible does liken our giving to sowing? We need to sow and to reap financially. We need to know and understand that. But I'll tell you what, there's something even more important than that that you need to sow. Because you can sow all the money. You can be a great giver and have it still not work for you if you're not doing this kind of sowing first. The number one way to sow for God's harvest is to sow into your spirit. Now remember, to sow and to reap, it's an illustration of planting, right? To sow means to plant seeds. To reap means to get the harvest, right? All right? And we're going to talk about that. Notice it says, "But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Notice there is something that you reap, and it's not primarily finances. Notice what it is. You reap life everlasting. Now, so many people, they look at that scripture, and what is life everlasting? What is that talking about? Most Christians, they'd say, well, it talks about going to heaven someday. When I have everlasting life in the sweet by and by. But here's the thing. That verse is not talking about heaven, right? It's talking about sowing to your flesh and sowing to your spirit. Obviously, you're not going to have your flesh in heaven like you have it now. So it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about what you sow here on this earth. Okay? Praise the Lord. But notice what you reap when you sow into your spirit. Notice it says you reap life everlasting. You need to understand what that is, all right? The word life there is a Greek word, and I'm not trying to play a Greek scholar, but you need to know and understand this. That word life is the Greek word zoe, all right? Z-O-E with a little doodad over the E, all right? Zoe. It doesn't just mean a life. It doesn't just mean to exist. It doesn't mean to just have, you know, a heartbeat in your chest or blood in your veins or air in your lungs. That word life, it's the Greek word zoe. It means the life as God has it. It means God's kind of life, God's strength, God's vitality. Amen. You sow to your spirit, you'll reap God's vitality. You'll reap His strength. You'll reap His wisdom. You'll reap His ideas. Amen. And notice what those things are. They're everlasting. Meaning whatever God does, it has eternal fruit. Praise the Lord. And so when you sow to the Spirit, you reap zoe. This sounds like what Jesus said over there in John 10:10. Are you with me here today? I know I see so many of you, you know, your heads down, you're writing in your notebooks. That's a very good thing because you'll want to get a hold of this. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? He says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, zoe, that's that same word there, and that you might have life more abundantly. Can we bring that verse up, please, John 10:10? Because it's that same word. It doesn't mean just, you know, air in your lungs or a heartbeat in your chest. It means God's strength, God's vitality, God's wisdom, God's ideas, God's health. Amen. God's provision. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, but I have come. Why did Jesus come to this earth? He came to give you the life of God. Because all human beings from Adam all the way up to Jesus had no life of God in them. Do you understand that? That God was heartbroken, so to speak, to think that humanity was living for thousands of years without his life in them. Remember that? Remember, the Bible through the prophet Ezekiel, it told Israel that there was coming a day where God was going to give them a new heart, where God was going to give them new life. Amen. And Jesus came to give us zoe, or the life of God, the strength of God, the ideas of God, the provision and wealth of God, amen, the eternal influence of God. Amen. Jesus came to give you this zoe. You better know what it is. All right. And notice what this zoe does. He says, I'm coming to give you life and zoe more abundantly. All right. Notice what the thief does. He tries to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. But notice he cannot steal, kill, and destroy zoe. Amen. The thief has no answer for the life of God when the life of God is on the inside of a born-again believer. Amen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come, Jesus says, to give you zoe and to give you zoe more abundantly. Why? Because things are coming to try to steal from your life. Things are coming to try to destroy you. Things are coming to try to take you out early. But see, when you sow to the Spirit and you reap zoe, that stealing, that killing, that destroying will have no power over you. Amen. Glory to God. It's like you've heard me use this illustration, you know, so often. I have a bottle of water, and I have to confess, I did open this, so it's not completely sealed. But imagine if you take a full bottle of water that's completely sealed. There's not a strong man in this place that can take a full bottle of water and crush it if it's sealed. Right? The Bible says that we've been what? Sealed by the Holy Ghost. All right? Wherewith you are sealed? Unto the day of redemption. Where is that? Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. What does that mean? That God fills you, he seals you up, and when you are full and you are sealed, the strongest man in this place could not crush this. Have you ever tried to stomp on a sealed water bottle? You know, you can put all your weight on it. That thing does not break or anything. Why? Because it's full. But if I opened this up and if I even emptied it out halfway, you could step on it, crush it, and it would break easy. All right? The same thing is true. When you're filled with God, all the pressure in this life cannot, you know, when you're filled with zoe, that water on the inside of this bottle is pushing back. Amen. It is holding back so much weight and burden. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Remember how he said that? How could the one that was going to take all the sins of the world say that his burden is light? The one that was going to carry every sickness and disease of humanity said, my burden is light. Why? Because the power of God, the zoe on the inside of Jesus, was holding back every burden. Glory to God. When you get filled with God, there's nothing that's going to crush you. Praise the Lord. And that's why Christians are getting crushed all over the place. All right, not the trial that doesn't make them unique. It's the amount of zoe that they have on the inside. Go back over there to Galatians 6:8 now. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. All right, notice what sowing to your flesh does. It destroys that life of God. Sowing to your flesh, you know, eating wrong, sleeping wrong, wrong relationships, lust, pornography, you know, drugs, all that stuff. What's it doing? It's just sowing to your flesh, and that will pay you back. But if you'll sow to your spirit, you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. You'll reap zoe. So notice this, that every single one of us in here, let's just believe everyone in here is a born-again Christian. And if you're not, well, before you leave today, you're going to get that chance. Glory to God. Let's say you're born again. You've come to Jesus. You've asked him in your heart. You've been remade on the inside. Well, now the Bible says that you have a measure of God's life on the inside of you. But notice zoe is something that can be reaped. So notice that there's more to be had. Notice that we all could be at different levels of zoe, just like a farmer could be at, farmers could be at different levels of harvest amongst each other. Does every farmer have the same amount of harvest? No. Which farmer has the most harvest? The farmer that sowed the most seed. All right? And so we don't look at a farmer and say, oh, how did he get all that seed? Or how did he get all that grain? How did he get all that harvest? He got it because he sowed more seed than the next guy. Notice Christians can reap life of God, meaning that you can have more and that we're all at different levels. And notice this, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. What is well-doing here? Sowing to your spirit. Okay? For in due season, if you'll sow to your spirit, you shall reap if you don't quit. All right? Notice this. Every harvest season in your life must first begin with putting that on the inside of your heart so you can draw that out and live on it. All right? Every harvest that you will ever walk into from God must first be put on the inside of your spirit, and then it, whatever's on the inside will show up in your life. All right? Praise the Lord. We have to know and understand. Go back up to verse 8. Notice it says this, but he that sows to the spirit shall of the spirit reap zoe. All right, the word spirit here is used twice. That because it has two different meanings. Are you ready? There is number one, the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, there is your spirit. Do you know that you are a spirit being? Do you know that on the inside of you, right here in the center of your being, is your spirit? Oh, praise the Lord. Every time I get this far, I feel like I got to go back and I got to teach for a few moments. Are you ready for this? If you're taking notes, just follow us up here. Get ready to do some walking up there on the keyboard because we're going to need our Bible software here. I have to show you this. Can you go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23? And I'll try to make this as fast as possible. You have to understand your nature. You are a spirit being. You are going to exist forever. It's just a matter of where and how. All right, notice this. It says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You have a three-part nature. You have to understand this, okay? Folks, I'm trying to get you over to the harvest season. Stick with me. Let me teach you, okay? Your body is easy to understand. That's the part of you that is sitting in that nice, soft chair, all right? All right, aren't you glad that modern technology has given us nice, soft seats in church? You know, glory to God for that, all right? My body is what communicates with the physical realm. My body tells me that this pulpit is hard. It tells me that that chair is soft. It tells me that these lights are bright. All right? That's your body. It's easy to understand that. But now notice, what is your soul? Because a lot of Christians, they think that a soul and a spirit are the same thing. They absolutely 100% are not. Your soul, the word soul means your mind, your will, your emotions, and your feelings. Okay? Your soul is what communicates with the emotional realm. When you feel sad, that's your soul. All right? When you feel, you can feel happy in your soul. Your soul can be vexed. Your soul can get depressed. You have to know and understand how the soul operates. It's your mind, your will, your intentions, and so on. Okay? And so your soul communicates with the emotional realm. But now, what is the spirit? Your spirit is the most important part of you. Your spirit is what is born again after you get saved. Notice when you get saved, your soul and your body do not. You understand that? You understand, like, if you get saved, you have the same body you had after. You know, I know that comes to a disappointment to some of us. But when you get saved, you have the same body. You have the same eye color, the same hair color. All right? When you get saved, your soul doesn't change immediately, does it? Your mind does not change. If you have stinking thinking before you get saved, you can have a lot of stinking thinking after you get saved. The body, or the Bible tells us that we have to crucify our flesh, tell it no. The Bible says that we have to renew our mind with the washing of the word. So I got to learn the Bible to renew my mind. Why? Because we don't always think right. Is there anyone in here that thinks right 100% of the time? Don't dare lift your hand. See, I have to say that because there'll always be that one person, you know, that'll lift their hand. You know, if you don't think right 100% of the time, therefore your mind has to be constantly renewed. Now, your spirit is what was born again when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Your spirit is what communicates with God. All right? My body communicates with the physical realm. My soul communicates with the emotional realm. And my spirit is what communicates with God. All right? But if the only thing you do is feed your body and your mind, then your spirit will starve and you will not hear the voice of God. Okay. So now let me give you some other verses here. Can you bring up, what was it, Romans 1:11? Romans 1:11, look what Paul said. He said, "For I long to see you." That's not the verse. Where is that? We used this last night. I wasn't planning on going there. I don't even have it in my notes. Is it verse 9? See, I knew it was another prime number. Or wait, is 9 a prime number? Well, praise the Lord. It's an odd number. We know that. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." Right? Notice what Paul said. He said, "I serve God with my spirit, not just with his body or with his mind." All right? And of course, he goes on to say that, "Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." So notice when he's praying, yeah, the body might be involved with that, but he's praying out of his spirit. Glory to God. Let me show you some other verses. Go to Romans 8:16. Look what the Bible says about your spirit. "The spirit itself," meaning the Holy Spirit himself, "bears witness with our spirit." What does the Holy Spirit do? He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so what does it mean to bear witness? It means to take the stand and tell the truth. What is the Spirit of God always doing? He's trying to tell us the truth on the inside. Of course, the truth of the Word of God, but the truth for that moment, meaning what you should do, what would keep you safe, what would be the best for God and for yourself. Amen. The Holy Ghost will tell you what house to buy. He will warn you about who to marry. He will give you a leading about, you know, going to college versus not going to college. He will lead you in all aspects of life. He'll tell you what job to take, what not job to take. Are you listening to your spirit? Can you bring up Proverbs 20 and verse 27? See, you might be sitting here thinking, "Man, Pastor, I had no idea that the Bible says so much about the human spirit." Yes, you better know and understand. That's the part of you in the center of your being that God's trying to talk to you on the inside. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The word belly means the center thereof, the center of your being. When I'm listening for God's voice in my life, I'm not listening up here. I'm not listening to my flesh. I'm listening down here. All right? God is speaking to your spirit. He's not talking to your mind, and he's not talking to your body. You're going to have to know and understand this. Praise the Lord. Hey, can you bring up 1 Corinthians 2:9? Well, we're just going to keep going on this. So you have to understand, I'm a spirit being. And now I have to sow into my spirit if I'm going to reap Zoe. If you're going to get into a harvest season, you better put the harvest on the inside first. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what Christians are doing. They're asking God for a harvest, but they're not sowing to their spirit man. God, I want the season to change. I need a harvest of healing. Sow for it. I need a harvest of finances. Sow for it. I need a harvest of a restored marriage. Sow for it. Sow for that new season. Sow into your spirit, because out of it are going to come every issue of life, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Look what it says. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. The word heart here is not the word for spirit, it's the word for mind. Sometimes you have to do your homework and make sure you understand, you know, what word is being used in the Bible. All right, so eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Is there anyone in here that loves God? Okay, well, good. There's a lot of response there. You know, sometimes it's like half of you. And then I got to say, oh, look, half of you don't love God. But you didn't let me do that. You're so responsive because you love God. And why would you not lift your hand for something like that, right? I don't want to be sitting there in church and, you know, God showed me one day, said, remember when the pastor asked who loved God? Look at you, didn't even lift your hand. So notice your eye, what does that mean? Your eye, your flesh hasn't seen it. Your flesh hasn't heard it. Your mind cannot conceive that which God has prepared for you that love him. If you love God, there is something that God has ready for you right now. What does it mean when something is prepared? It's ready. It's done. Come on, do you want to see the things that God has prepared for you? A lot of people, they say, oh, pastor, that's talking about heaven. Don't you know that's a verse you use at a funeral? No, it's not. This is not talking about heaven someday. This is talking about for those of us that are still on the earth. Why? Because look at verse 10. So those things that he's prepared for us, God has revealed them. Them, meaning are the things that he has for those that love him. How is God going to reveal those things to us? By his Spirit, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Know this, that your spirit, notice this, that the Holy Ghost to your spirit, the Holy Spirit is out searching every day for the things of God for you. What does that mean? He's out hunting for you. Woo! The Holy Ghost wants to find the deep things of God and move them into your life. But how's that going to happen? Verse 11. Again, wasn't planning on going here. For what man knows the things of a man? What things of a man? The things that God has prepared. The things that your eye can't see and your mind cannot conceive. How many of you want a life better than you can think? Come on. Some of you, I don't understand how we could just sit here and hear something like this and be like, eh. For what man knows the things that God's prepared for him except the spirit of man which is in him? Where are you going to discover the things that God has prepared for you because you love him? In your spirit. Notice the spirit is out searching every day. You're praying in the spirit. You're praying and sowing to your spirit. And the Holy Ghost will speak to you and say, I have this for you. I have that for you. And when God does something, it's Ephesians 3:20. Do you know what Ephesians 3:20 says? Can you bring it up for the people? What does God do? Look at Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. God is not going to give you what you think. He's going to give you above what you think. God is not just going to do a little something for you. He does exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according where? To the power that works where? In us. What is that power? Zoe. What is that? Reaping the life of God because we're sowing to the Spirit. But what if you have no power in you? What if you just say, well, I'm born again. That's good enough. No, see, you have to understand your spirit is something that must be developed. It must be cultivated like a farmer's field. What if a farmer just says, yeah, I'll take that field right there. Okay, I'm going to go and plant harvest, and he just goes out there and just starts dumping seed on it. Dumping seed on the weeds, dumping, you know, seed on the thistles and the thorn bushes. He's not going to get anything. What does he have to do? He's got to tear up that ground. He's got to till up that ground and prepare it. We have to grow our spirit man. We have to sow into our hearts what we want to get out of life. Oh, come on now. Amen. Go back over there to 1 Corinthians 2:11. Of course, we're up here on our screen. For what man knows the things that God has prepared for a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Your body isn't going to find out. Your mind isn't going to find out. You have to know and understand. God's going to communicate to you. He can only bring into your life what you first put into your spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why? Go over to verse 14. You're in 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 14. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because why? They are spiritually discerned. Your body and your mind are going to cringe when you see how God has designed for you to reap by his Spirit. So many times, Christians, they do not want to do what the Bible says to do concerning sowing to your spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Zoe is the harvest we're after. Zoe. All right, let me give you an illustration. Your spirit must be grown in order to carry that which God has for your life. All right. How many of you last week had a big Thanksgiving dinner? Anybody in here? Did you eat more than usual at Thanksgiving? Is there anyone that ate more than a normal meal? I did. I had a couple of different Thanksgiving meals to go to that week. And, you know, I ate well. Let's just put it that way. All right. We ate the good of the land, right? All right. And when you went to Thanksgiving dinner, there had to be a table there that could hold the food and people could sit at it and whatnot. All right. Think about this. Your spirit is like a table. How many of you know there are many different kinds of tables? Okay. Just because something is called a table doesn't mean that all tables are the same. Okay? It's like this. Just like every born-again spirit is not the same. Okay? Imagine, okay, let's think of a simple table. Let's think about an end table. We have some end tables right here in our first row of our sanctuary, right? How many of you know an end table? How many of you have an end table at your house? How many of you would serve Thanksgiving dinner on it? You wouldn't. You say, well, you can't serve Thanksgiving dinner on an end table. Why? Because it's not big enough to carry the meal. All right? All right, an end table. And then you could take a step up and then you could go to a kitchen table. Well, you can serve a meal at a kitchen table, but a kitchen table is usually, what, 4 or 5 seats? You know, you can have a normal meal on it. All right? Then in my house, we had company over for Thanksgiving, and then we moved into the dining room table. All right. And our dining room table, it's only used like twice a year or something like that. And during, you know, but when it's not being used, it only has 6 seats around it. All right. But how many of you know that you can expand a lot of those dining room tables and you can put a leaf in those tables? Okay. And so when we have company coming over, we're going to use the dining room table. I got to go down to the basement and I got to haul up those leaves. I got to get under that table. You throw the magic lever, right? Boom. And that table starts pulling apart. And then you got to pull it apart. Except you don't just pull it apart. You got to do the shimmy. You got to do the shake. Because it never just goes, ooh. You got to go, bup, 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 bup. You ever had that? And you pull that thing way apart, and then that table looks really weird because it's all missing in the middle now. And then you take the leaves, boom, boom. And then you do the shimmy and shake, and you put that table back together. All right, and now that six-seater table is now a 12-seater table. All right, and now it can serve way, it can hold way more than your end table. Your end table, if you try to serve a meal on that, it would barely get past the mashed potatoes. All right? You move to your kitchen table. Well, a small family could have a meal at a kitchen table. But then the dining room table, it can be grown and it can be expanded. So now it can hold a multi-course meal. Then you could go even one step further and go to a banquet table where dozens of people could eat at it. And it could bless many people. Your spirit is like that table. It can only carry it according to its size. All right? So many Christians, they want a banquet-sized feast in life, but they only bring God an end table for Him to set it on. Amen. Your spirit is like that dining room table. It needs leaves. It needs to be expanded. All right? And the more you expand and grow your spirit, God can put more on your life. And if you think you're going to move into the harvest without expanding your spirit, you are deceived. Are you getting a hold of this today? Oh my goodness, Pastor, you're putting commitment and responsibility. Oh my goodness. God is saying, listen, it's not God's fault. He has things prepared right now. But so many Christians, I would say 90% or more, are not prepared to carry what God has for them because they have not grown their spirit. Ooh, well, I don't know if we're just quiet because we're convicted or what's going on. All right. If you want to set up for a future season, if you want to walk into God's Thanksgiving, so to speak, you know, if you want to walk into a bigger meal, if you want to walk into a greater grace, greater glory of God, now go back over to Galatians 6:8. You have to sow to your spirit. All right? You cannot have any harvest from God that was not first put into your heart. Oh, Pastor, but I'm just going to church. I'm being a good Christian. I act good, and I don't break any of God's rules, and I'm just good. Yeah, well, you'll live like that, and you'll starve your spirit, and God will never be able to put something greater on your life because you didn't grow your spirit. All right. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. We got to move right along here. What if you need let me show you this now in the Bible. What if you need a harvest of healing in your life? For any harvest in your life, what must you do for it? Sow, but where do you sow for it? To your spirit. All right. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. We're going to spend some time in Proverbs. I will get you out by 2 p.m. today, I promise. Oh my goodness. Yeah, glory to God. Here we go. Proverbs 4 in verse 23. We're fixing to close. But sometimes, you know, it takes time to fix something. Go to Proverbs 4:23. Look at this. Look at this verse. It says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. Why should you guard your heart? Now, this word heart is synonymous with the word spirit. It's talking about the heart or the center of your being, all right? Just like you might say, oh, I had to go into the heart of town, or it's in the heart of the city. Well, it means the center of something. It's talking about your spirit. Guard your spirit with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Or you could say it this way, all the issues of life. How many of you have issues?
Woo! No hands went up. No takers. Hey, all right. All right, you got issues, all right?
There's issues everywhere. And see, when we see issues, we think we're talking about tough stuff, bad stuff, you know, or your stuff, you know what I mean? Stuff that, you know, people don't like about you. That's not what we're talking about. How many of you know it took an issue for you to get here today? All right, it took finances. It took a vehicle, all right? How many of you know it could be something as simple as your car? It could be as simple as your job. It could be your business. It could be all those. How many of you know those are all the issues of your life? How many of you know that relationships, marriages and such, that's an issue of your life? All right, your job is an issue of your life. Your children are issues of your life, all right? Your relationship primarily with God, that's an issue of life. It's the greatest issue of life, all right? Praise and worship is an issue. Giving to God is an issue. Having a strong marriage is an issue, all right? How many of you know all things in your life are an issue? Okay, well, notice where all your issues come from. They come from your spirit. What if there is no Zoe, no power, no life of God? What if there is just a small, starving spirit there? What if you've never sown to your spirit nature? What if you've never added the leaves to the table, so to speak? You will not be able to carry what God called you to carry. All right? Have you ever seen Christians live a life of regret? I have. Do you know where regret comes from for the believer? Regret is when you miss the appointed times of God, and you know it. Regret for a Christian comes when you sense that you missed God's appointed time for you because you were unable to carry what God wanted you to carry. Think about that. And you start to sense, I missed that season. Well, here's the good news, is that harvest season will come around again. All right? But let's not miss the season that God has for us. I tell you what, I've just, you know, gotten a hold of this. I've been meditating in this. I don't want to miss the plans and seasons of God from my life because I will not add leaves to the table. Listen, folks, I don't know how else to say it. You're going to have to put down the carnal flesh. You're going to have to turn off certain things in your life. Stop destroying your body. Stop living on TV. Stop living on Facebook. Stop living on the computer. And you're going to have to get quiet and start sowing the word of God into your spirit. All right. Now, when you sow, what is the most basic way you sow to your flesh? We're all going to do it today, and it's not always bad. It's a very good thing. What's the most simple way you sow into your flesh? Eat. Yeah. All right. Going to do a little eating. And some of you are thinking, yep, I'd like to eat right now. If Pastor, you would just wind this up. Yeah, I know. I heard that. Now I'm going to go longer. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. All right. And of course, we have to eat and we sow into our bodies that way. And that can be a good thing. All right. But what if you sow too much? Your body what? Grows. Your body can grow the more you sow to it. All right. How many of you know your spirit works the same exact way? Jesus said over there in Matthew 4:4, he said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so notice you have to feed your spirit the word of God if you're going to want it to grow. Oh, my goodness. God cannot bring harvest in your life for something you don't know about. What does the Bible say in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know, you can't reap. All right? Praise the Lord. Why? Out of your spirit come all the issues of life. But yet, if we only feed our bodies and we only feed our minds, just think of all the issues. There's no help for the issues in life if our spirits are starving. Folks, are we getting a hold of this? Yeah, amen. Say, well, Pastor, I want 2019 to be a great year. Well, you better sow for it. Well, I never read my Bible. I don't ever take time to pray. I just come to church and sit there and I've done my duty. Yeah, so you're going to stay an end table. God's not going to be serving any meals on that table. Imagine if your family all showed up. All right, we're here for Thanksgiving dinner. All right, gather around the table. You'd be like, we can't eat on this.
We can't put a pumpkin pie on this. There's no sweet potatoes. Where's the gravy? Okay. Come on. I mean, so many Christians, they want the gravy in life. But they have not set the size table they need to have God. Out of your spirit are all the issues of your life. If your issues are going without God's help, it's not God's fault. He is not mocked. He said, because you didn't sow to your spirit, now there's nothing to draw out of your spirit for that issue. My finances need to draw upon what God, the riches of God that are on the inside of me. My body receives strength through the strength of God's life on the inside of me. Let me show you that in your Bible real quick. Go to Proverbs 14. If you want a harvest of health, what do you need to do? Sow for it. How do you sow for a harvest of health? The scriptures. Pastor, I need a harvest of a new job. All right. Sow the scriptures. Is there a lot to be said in the scriptures about jobs and businesses and finances? Yes. But let me ask you something, and don't lift your hand and don't shout it out. But could you quote 3 verses right now about biblical prosperity? Could you? I couldn't do it. You know, Christians all the time say, I couldn't do that. Yeah, that's why God can't put it on your life. You say, well, it's not my fault I didn't memorize it. So many Christians tell me I have a bad memory. You don't have a bad memory when you repeat it to yourself 1,000 times. Your memory is not the problem. Your effort is. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Can you quote 3 to 5 verses about prosperity? Pastor, I need a new season for the life of my kids. Have you sown scriptures about your children? Quote 3 verses about your kids right now. Go. I don't even have one, so many believers say. Well, if you don't have any in there, out of it are the issues of life. God can't draw that new season up out of you if you haven't put it in there. Oh, Pastor, I don't, I know, you know, you talk about tithing and things. I really need to start doing that. Well, quote 3 verses about tithing. I can't. See, that's why you're not doing it. Oh, Pastor, I need a new season. My marriage needs to be restored. Quote me 3 verses on marriage. I can't. The reason why you can't, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The reason why your mouth can't speak is because you haven't put it in there. So, oh, Pastor, you're hammering, you're coming down. Listen, this is what deception is. See, most Christians, they don't realize they are mocking God. God, I want a banquet-style feast on my end table. God said, I'm not serving banquet feasts on your end table. If you want a banquet feast, you better grow that thing into a banquet table. It's mocking God to say, where's my harvest? Where's this God that pastor teaches about? Where's this blessing? Where are these promises? I'm going to church. I'm sitting in the church. I thought this would all just miraculously start happening for me. It won't. Sitting in a church doesn't make you anything. Just like sitting in a garage don't make you a car. Right? You have to sow to the Spirit. Amen. Because out of your spirit are all the issues of life. Go to Proverbs 14:30, and we got to wrap this up right now. As in a few moments from right now. Proverbs 14:30. Look at this. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Again, that word for heart, it's synonymous with the word spirit. The word sound is the Jewish word shalom. It means sound or complete or completely peaceful. All right? Notice, a sound spirit is the life. That word life there is the word, Hebrew word for strength. Notice where your strength in your body comes from. It comes from your spirit. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? For the body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. What happens when our loved ones leave this earth? Their spirit left their body. And as soon as their spirit left their body, that body collapsed to the floor. It was no good anymore. Because our bodies only have life and strength according to the life and strength of our spirit. All right? Notice this. a sound heart. That sounds like someone's been sowing into that spirit. Why? Because that word sound, it means whole and complete. A whole and complete spirit is the life of the strength of the flesh. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. Yeah, you want to make yourself sick? Get jealous of somebody. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. Look over to Proverbs 18 in verse 14. This is just an example. I'm just showing you how whatever is in your spirit affects what's on the outside, starting with your body. Look at this, Proverbs 18, 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That word infirmity means sickness or illness. Literally, the Hebrew translation of this says, the strong spirit of a man will give him strength in the face of illness. If you want to have strength in the face of illness, you better have a strong spirit. Pastor, how do I sow to the spirit? You feed it. Feed it all the time. Well, Pastor, you know, I have so many people. Pastor, you know, you quote verses, you quote verses, you quote verses. Yeah, because I fed my spirit those verses. Amen? You got to constantly. When I sit down, I don't sit down and just read my Bible. I sit down and I meditate and I put those scriptures on the inside of me. All right? And as I put that on the inside, that Zoe, you're going to reap that eternal Zoe life strength of God. Amen? The Bible says, we won't go there for the sake of time, in Proverbs chapter 3, right around the 16th, 17th verse, what does it say about wisdom? It says, wisdom in the right hand of wisdom is length of days, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Where does riches and honor come from? It comes from the wisdom of God. Where does the wisdom of God come from? It comes from sowing into your spirit. Again, if you want to harvest the finances, you better put it on the inside first. If you want a strong marriage, you better put it on the inside first. Listen, everything in your life is going to try to distract you away from doing this. But don't mock God and wonder where the harvest season is when you haven't sown into the Spirit. Woo, praise the Lord. I'm going to keep talking about this because I mentioned a couple weeks ago. What's the second way that you sow into the Spirit? Pray in other tongues. And so many people are sitting here and say, well, I don't do that. Well, you better learn how to do that. You better learn how to do that. I wrote a book on it, by the way. You know, and if you don't have a copy of that book, I'm not trying to sell books. I actually don't get 1 cent out of any of it. I'll give you one. Go take one. Seriously, book table folks, free books. There you go. Go get one. I don't write books to make money. I've never made 1 cent out of any book I've ever written. All right? I wrote it because I understand the significance of what God has said about how you grow your spirit. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he said this. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Praise the Lord. How could God give that man such a huge assignment in life? He could carry it because his spirit was a banquet table. He could carry the influence of God. Folks, we've been given a divine message here today. We cannot mock God. We can't wonder where the reaping is when we have not sown to the inside. Out of it are all the issues of your life. Your health, your peace, your joy, your marriage, your finances, your jobs, your businesses. Everything you will see and experience in this life will be a result of what you put in or didn't put into your spirit. Boy, it sure gets quiet in here. You know why it's quiet in here? Because it's a holy hush. It's the sound of God dealing with people's hearts. Because all of a sudden we stand before God and we realize, oh my goodness, I have effort in this thing. I have commitment. I have a responsibility. And listen, there's no pastor on this earth that can sow for you. Jesus is not going to get off his throne and come down and give you that new life you're believing for. You're going to have to sow. What is the answer for every single kind of season on this earth? Sow to the Spirit. Well, I'm going through a hard time, Pastor. What do I do? Sow to the Spirit. I need help financially. Sow to the Spirit. I need help with my kids. Sow to the Spirit. I need a new job. Sow to the Spirit. I want to be more active in church. Sow to the Spirit. I want to be a better father. Sow to the Spirit. I want to be a better husband. Sow to the Spirit. God cannot draw anything out that hasn't first been put in there. How many scriptures? Right now, I mean, you should just be making a list. What verses do you have for your family? What verses do you meditate on for your finances, your health? What do you meditate on for your local church? What verses can you quote about those issues in life? And if you come to the fact and say, I don't have anything, you know why? Because the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Well, you're going to have to do your studying. Gave you some good homework here today. Are you ready to pray? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, we got our answers today. If we want a new season in life, we got to sow for it. Father, if we want a season of health and healing, we got to sow for it. Father God, if we want to see our marriages restored, we got to sow for it. And Father, we understand that the number one way that we sow to our spirit is to meditate in the scriptures, to do our homework, to study to show ourselves approved. Father, I understand as a pastor, I could have stood up here today and just preached an entertaining sermon. And we could have all laughed and giggled and walked out with a fuzzy feeling and then get completely defeated in life. But Father, we have decided to tell the truth. Father, we have decided to teach these principles that your people would walk in them. That, Father, that you could cause them to reap more influence in this life. To bring them in the things that you have prepared in advance for us. The things that you prepared for those that love you. Things that the eye can't see, the ear cannot hear. Things that the mind of man cannot conceive. But these things are spiritually received. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you. And Father, we look forward in the weeks ahead of learning more about our spirit, learning more about how the Holy Ghost fills us. Father, we want to be like that water bottle that's full, sealed, and uncrushable. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. With all heads bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, let me ask you the most important question anyone will ever ask you. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I don't mean you've had a religious tradition. I don't mean you've been, you know, you took a religious class or you were, you know, water baptized or something like that. Thank God for water baptism, but it doesn't save us. Thank God for religious classes, but they don't save you. To be saved, we must do what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Salvation is not my idea. It's not family church's idea. Salvation is God's idea. The Bible says that Jesus was sent to this earth 2,000 years ago to bear the punishment for our sins, because sins are crimes against God and they require punishment. And so in order to save us from eternal hell, Jesus came to this earth. He bore the punishment that we deserved so that we could be innocent before God. And if you're here today and you've never done this, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down forward. I'm not going to send you into some room to talk to some church leader or anything like that. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see that hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here with it? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. He sent his son, allowed him to be sacrificed, to pay for the deeds that we all did that were wrong. God is so good and merciful. Is there anybody else that you'd say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, we had a couple of hands. So I'm going to lead us in this prayer. If you raised your hand, speak these words out of your heart. Don't just think them in your mind. Speak them out of your mouth. We'll be praying with you. And all you have to do is be sincere. And God will hear your prayer. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin.
be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did anyone get some help here today? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, you know, I understand that there was a lot of teaching today. I know sometimes that is a lot to grasp, you know, in about an hour of a sermon that we had. But I'll tell you what, folks, we have to make it a priority to sow into our spirit. God can't do much with us if we don't. If everything in life gets a priority over that, I tell you what, the thief will come and he will steal, he will kill, and he will destroy. But Jesus came to give us Zoe and life more abundantly. Amen. Let's just go ahead and give him glory and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We're going to be doers of it. We'll be blessed in all of our deeds. And Father, we just love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.